This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, Friday, November 29th. Good afternoon, and thanks so much for joining us for the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Rachel Pearson, filling in for Rob Hart today, and it is a cold, blustery, snowy day in Chicagoland. Temperatures reaching a high of 26 degrees. The winds, though, making it feel a lot more like the low teens and single digits. It's a very cold week ahead. We'll update you on traffic and weather together coming up in just over 10 minutes here. TVs, wearables, and AI-enabled everything. Just some of the tech trends emerging this holiday season. We'll cover that in our next segment, but right now, hey, it's Black Friday, and we can't not talk about it on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Retailers officially kicking off the holiday shopping season, and there's a stark divide between the winners and losers. Joining us live on the Village of Bedford Park Business Line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Bob Phibbs, CEO of The Retail Doctor in New York. Bob, happy holidays. Glad to have you with us. Let's talk about what we can expect. Obviously, the National Retail Federation expects near record-breaking shopping this holiday season.
Absolutely. There's hope in the air, and merchants are ready. They came out of high inflation the last couple of years, which those numbers are hard to go up against. So we'll see a return today. We saw a return of some of those door-breaker sales, and a lot of people started early. And I am watching a live tracking, Rachel, from our friends at Pass By, and it is showing that traffic into stores right now is about 1.01% lower than 2023. So in my mind, considering the weather in Chicago and some other areas up here in the Northeast, I'd say we're right on track, and it looks to be a good holiday season for several.
It is a shortened holiday season. That's worth noting, because Thanksgiving, Black Friday, a little bit later than normal this year. And I guess my question to you is, even if we do see this surge in shopping that a lot of retailers rely on, is it enough to make up for some of those disappointing earnings we've seen in previous quarters?
Well, I think so. And, you know, even then, some of our top performers, you know, Dick's comparable sales were up 4%. Burlington was pretty much even, but it was a pretty warm fall, and Nordstrom's was up 4%. You know, a little hiccup with Macy's and their earnings, but what we're seeing is people who are looking for deals. That's certainly one part of the market, and we're seeing those people being courted. But also at the upper end, people are willing to splurge more. So it will be interesting, because you don't necessarily need as many people to be buying more expensive items to make those numbers. And things like personalization and like Pandora, we expect to be doing well this year as well.
What separates a retail winner from a retail loser when we're specifically looking within this window of Black Friday shopping?
Well, the question is, of course, which category are we talking about? I mean, I think the retail winners are ones who have had a value proposition all along, and they're meeting several customers' needs, and it can be that one-stop shop. I think the people that are going to get hurt are the people with out of stocks, the people with not enough people on the floor. I'm sure you've run into that yourself. You're like, can someone just take my money?
I want to get out of here. You want me out of here too.
Right? Yeah, like, can I just give you my credit card, please? And it's the same thing you run into restaurants, right? Because the longer we wait for that, And that's a challenge because we are still running with about 5 million less workers than we had before the pandemic. And hiring has been a challenge and training has been a challenge. But you know what's different this year is I feel there's a sense of hope when I'm out in the shopping centers. And I believe your listeners do, too. And get out there and shop and give them your credit card. Okay, go on.
Now, how does e-commerce play into all of this? Because in recent years, there's just been this really big swing into online shopping for the holiday season.
Well, you know, that's interesting because about the start of the pandemic, everybody was saying, oh, everyone's going to go direct to consumer. And Nike cut out their wholesale accounts because they said, oh, we can control the middleman and we'll do better. And that was the darling, it was all going to be online. You know, the reality is that Nike suffered because they have to walk back all those relationships because they realize, oh my gosh, we made the wrong bet. People aren't doing direct to consumer. That's not where the money is. It's still going to be 80% of the holiday sales made today are still going to be in store. Now, that can get great over because if you buy from Nordstrom online, are you buying from Nordstrom? Or did you go in the store and see it? Mm-hmm. But most of us believe that the physical discovery aspect, you know, you go into a store maybe to buy, I don't know, a stroller, and you're in a big box, and you see something else, and you just add to the cart. Well, that is the way most retailers work, whereas online you're going to buy. You want to get that one HP printer, or you want to get that one thing. And that doesn't tend to make money because people have free shipping and now we have free returns and people, you know, play with the system. So the returning apparel that's been worn, and that's a huge problem that retailers are running. What all have we wrought on ourselves with online shopping? So it's still important. You want to have people buy when they want, where they want, and how they want any time of the day. Very important. But still, we crave the human connection. And that's what makes Black Friday so exciting, because people go as friends, as families, as cohorts to go and have fun. And more importantly, to buy things to give to other people, which, let's face it, we've been through a lot in the last several years. We got a lot to make up for.
Thanks so much for joining us. Bob Phibbs, CEO of The Retail Doctor in New York. His website, retaildoc.com. Coming up, we'll take a look at this year's top tech gadgets for the holidays.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
This year's top tech gadgets combine innovation, convenience, and of course, cutting-edge features for every lifestyle. We welcome Carl Prouty, the technologist at Abt Electronics in Glenview. Carl, happy holidays. Glad to have you here because this is the day. This is the day for looking and buying and holiday shopping. It all kicks off with Black Friday. So for the techie and all of us, what's on your site this year?
So we have tons of stuff available on our site. Maybe the biggest one is an LG 98-inch TV for $2,500. I mean, that's the 98-inch TV you couldn't even think about for that price, you know, last year even. And now they've gotten so reasonable. So it's bringing these movie theater screens right to your wall at home.
Wow. Well, yeah. And we're seeing that trend, too. I think we talked about this earlier, where it's just TVs keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And 98 inches for just under $2,500. Now, is that a Black Friday deal, or is that something that we're going to see throughout the season?
That is, it's a Black Friday deal. It runs through the 2nd of December.
Okay.
So it's kind of a short-lived thing, but definitely there's going to be other deals going on, too.
So let's talk, because we also talked about, you know, other types of innovation and convenience. Any other gadgets we should know about?
Yeah, there's a really cool one that we actually just brought into our store, and it's called a Hoop Smart Basketball Net.
Okay.
And it's this little, it's like a, you remember those old basketball nets that you'd hang over your door?
Yeah, there may or may not be several of them somewhere in this newsroom just sitting. There's no basketball, just the hoop.
Well, this is something that you guys might want to keep down at the station too. So it has a TV built into it. So one, you can watch smart TV on it. So you can stream movies, shows, whatever you want. But it's also got games built into it, and it's got sensors. So it can tell how far away you're shooting from. It can tell how many baskets you've made, so you can play games with friends all around the world. It's not limited to anything. You can play, it's this whole interactive network of people using this basketball net. So it's a really, really cool device.
Okay, so wait, is the backboard a TV screen?
The backboard is a TV screen. It's really wild. We have them on display at the store, so if you're in Glenview, stop by the store and check these things out, because it is it's unlike stuff you've seen.
Okay, so we've covered the movie buff. We've got the sports head. What can we do for maybe someone in the fashion beauty space? Because we're seeing a lot of new tech there, too.
Oh, yeah. So Dyson, always innovative with their products. And they actually have some really good deals going on right now. They've got $100 off each their Gen 2 hair dryer, which has been extremely popular. And Dyson almost never goes on sale. So this is a really good opportunity for people to save some money. But they have their traditional hair dryer that we've seen in the past. It's called the Supersonic Dryer. And now they have another version called the Neural Hair Dryer. And that one is, it brings a few more kind of smart features to it almost. So it's got something called a Wave Plus Curl Diffuser. So it's better for people that have waves in their hair or curls in their hair that really want to enhance those. And it's also got this technology built in. So it knows when you set it down, it turns off the heating and it lowers the fan speed. So it doesn't completely turn it off, but it'll turn everything down when you set the dryer down.
I like, see, that's the mom brain in me is like, that would be so helpful. That's something I don't always remember. All right. Thanks so much for joining us. I love the suggestions from Carl Prouty. He's a technologist at Abt Electronics in Glenview. Up next, celebrating 179 years of Scottish tradition right here in Chicago.
Discussing the news affecting your money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Chicago Scots mark 179 years of tradition with their St. Andrew's Day Gala celebrating Scottish heritage, all while raising funds for charity. Joining us now with a preview is Gus Noble, CEO of Chicago Scots. Gus, happy belated Thanksgiving. I hope you had a nice time there yesterday. Let's talk about tomorrow. It's a big day for the Chicago Scots.
Hi, Rachel. How are you? It's St. Andrew's Day tomorrow. Yes, indeed. It's Scotland's National Day. So the Scottish community here in Chicago gathers, as we have done 178 times previously, to raise a glass of something good and golden, to eat haggis, listen to bagpipes, enjoy some Highland dancing, and to kind of nourish Scottish identity in a way that puts a big smile on your face and warmth in your heart, because it supports the oldest 501c3 charity in Illinois.
Well, let's talk about it, because obviously it sounds wonderful and it sounds delicious. We'll get to haggis, though, in a minute, because I have some questions there. But
sure.
What I want to talk about is what exactly your organization helps with. And let's sort of talk about the charitable end of the Chicago Scots.
Sure. We have a unique combination of culture and care. If you think of our organization as a coin, on one side you'll find culture, and we bring something of Scotland, of home, to Chicago, and we do that by hosting events like this Feast of the Haggis, but also our Scottish Festival and Highland Games, which brings people from all over, from all over the United States to enjoy this festival for about 15,000 people. We have burn suppers and all sorts of stuff. On the other side of the coin is the organization you find care. And care is made manifest at a place called Caledonia Senior Living and Memory Care. It's a small nursing home that we've had for over a century in North Riverside. And we take care of people with a lot of love. I'm ever so proud of our accomplishments here. Most recently, of course, when COVID began to target seniors with unprecedented cruelty, we have an incredible record of safety. We did not lose a single resident to COVID-19. And that's because of the people who work at this wonderful community where I'm speaking from. Ever so proud of them. And so everything we do on the cultural side of this coin supports the charity that we offer at Caledonia Senior Living. And we have this community that has really brought assurance and comfort to families. The most dignified thing that any of us can do, I think the highest purpose we can find, is taking care of our seniors, and perhaps the highest is end of life care, which is something I'm ever so proud of here.
Now, Gus, quickly here, because you mentioned it earlier when we were talking, that part of the gala, the St. Andrew's Day gala, includes a feast of haggis. And for our listeners who don't know, I want you to try and make this sound as enticing as you can.
Haggis is delicious. We all love hot dogs and sausages here in Chicago. Well, haggis is a Scottish sausage. There are poems written about it. Most famously, Robert Burns, of course, that quintessential Scotsman, wrote a poem. And it's impolite and improper to serve haggis without first reading it, this poem. So at the Feast of the Haggis, there's a moment where we're all upstanding, and led in by a bagpiper comes the haggis. And it's brought up onto stage where the person addressing the haggis with Robert Burns' poem would act it out. There's a big toast at the end of it, and everybody will cheer as the haggis is served. Now, the haggis is made here in the United States, but years gone by, we used to fly this haggis in, import it from Scotland, and it would arrive on a bed of ice at O'Hare Airport from McSween's the Butcher in Scotland, in Edinburgh. And there it was met at O'Hare Airport by a pipe band, and it would be piped into the city in this very kind of ceremonial way that was a lot of fun. Unfortunately, USDA doesn't allow us to import haggis anymore, but there's still lots of bagpiping and still lots of ceremony that goes along with it. It's also served with potatoes, or as we call them in Scotland, tatties, and neeps, which are turnips, and a large measure of good single malt whiskey.
Thanks so much for previewing the St. Andrew's Day Gala. That's Gus Noble. He's CEO of Chicago Scots. Now, still ahead in Entrepreneur Friday, we meet the man behind a popular device that'll help fix up your Christmas tree lights.
This is Chicago's News, Traffic, and Weather Station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rachel Pearson, filling in for Rob Hart, and these are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Breaking news with the Chicago Bears, who today have fired head coach Matt Eberflus. WBBM's Terry Keschner will have more coming up momentarily. An Oak Park police officer in critical condition after being shot this morning, and experts are expecting slight growth in this year's Black Friday sales. WBBM Business, it's a shortened trading day. The Dow closed in the green here, up 189 points. The NASDAQ up 158. The S&P 500 up 34 points. Temperatures should top out around 26 degrees this afternoon, but the winds make it feel much cooler. An overnight low of 15 degrees, then some sunshine tomorrow. Still cold, though, with a high of 27 degrees. It's 12:31, and our top story is a major sports story in the Chicago area, as the Chicago Bears have fired head coach Matt Eberflus. The beleaguered coach had gone through his day-after press conference, saying he was expecting to coach against the 49ers in Week 14 on Friday, but he said that today. That's not going to happen. We'll have more on that story throughout the afternoon. We'll also speak with a sports expert coming up in our at 12:49. An Oak Park police officer hospitalized in critical condition this hour after being shot in the western suburbs this morning. WBBM's Terry Keschner standing by at Loyola University Medical Center in Maywood. He joins us live with an update.
Rachel, there is a very heavy police presence here at Loyola Medical Center. The Village of Oak Park says the officer was shot around 9:30 this morning on the 800 block of Lake Street and taken here to Loyola in critical condition. Another person, the offender, was shot in the leg and was taken into custody and also being treated here at Loyola. A short time earlier, police say, the Village of Oak Park says, the offender was seen leaving a bank on Lake Street in Oak Park, right there near Oak Park Avenue, with a gun. We have seen police from all over the area, police flying over and police driving around, police from several departments here, including the Chicago Police Department, and again, many still here at the hospital. We also saw the Oak Park Police Chaplain here at the hospital, and the Village of Oak Park telling us a short time ago they do expect to release more information at a news conference sometime this afternoon. Reporting live from Loyola Medical Center in the western suburbs, Terry Keschner, 105.9 WBBM.
Stay tuned to News Radio WBBM. We'll continue to follow that developing story.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, it's a shortened trading day on Wall Street as the markets closed at noon. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Chuck Carlson. He's CEO of Horizon Investment Services in Hammond, Indiana. Chuck, a little bit of a brief day here, but what's your synopsis on Wall Street?
It was a good day. If you look at large cap stocks, small cap stocks, they all did, growth stocks, they all did pretty well today. So it was a solid day, which isn't unusual for the day after Thanksgiving. You get this abbreviated day where institutions kind of take a break. So the major participants are individuals who historically tend to be a little bit more optimistic about things. So I think this is typical for what you see. And it's also a continuation of what we have been seeing here over the last month or so. So a solid day.
Right.
For the market.
Well, and you sort of touched on that post-election momentum that we've seen. Do you think that that's going to continue heading into 2025? Or if not, what's going to be a roadblock?
Yeah, I think it will. What is key, though, is what we've seen over the last month, and that has been a decline in interest rates. You look at the 10-year Treasury, for example, and that right now is the yield on that is at a one-month low. So if we get some relief or a little bit more downward bias in interest rates, I think that's going to go a long way to continuing the momentum that we've seen here over the last month or so.
We know that AI has driven a lot of those higher markets. Is there any concern that there's a bubble there that's eventually going to pop? Or is this one of those things where we're just going to constantly see it sort of innovating on top of itself, finding new ways to be incorporated into the market?
Well, I think it's going to be more the latter than the former. Having said that, obviously valuations can get overrun in any sector, and the valuations in certain areas related to AI have gotten a little bit stretched. The one thing, though, that people need to keep in mind that separates this from previous, you know, bubble concerns is that these companies are growing, and they're growing at pretty aggressive clips. When you look at the primary AI companies, you know, their revenue and earnings growth is certainly supported higher stock prices. So as long as they can kind of continue to see that sort of growth, you know, I think the stocks will be okay. It's once that starts to peter out, and your guess is as good as mine is when that's going to happen, but I don't think it's in the near term. You know, those stocks can continue to hold up pretty well. What, you know, the nice thing, though, about this market is that what we've seen over the last month has really been a broad market. So it hasn't been just, you know, technology. And in fact, some of the technology stocks have pulled back. It's been really a nice rebound in some of the areas that had been lagging, such as small and mid-cap stocks, such as value stocks, such as dividend paying stocks. So that breadth is a good thing. And hopefully that does continue.
Right. And it's those other areas that are sort of catching up to that big seven that dominated so much of the markets. But my question, how does the Fed play into all of this, and especially heading into next year?
Well, again, that gets back to kind of the interest rate story. I think the market is looking for the Fed to continue to cut rates. I think, you know, I think if the Fed in December, for example, does not cut rates, that would be kind of a surprise for the market. I do think the market is adjusting a little bit to the fact that the economy is still pretty solid. So the ability for Fed to continue to cut rates aggressively is probably not going to be the case in 2025. But again, you know, at the end of the day, you know, inflation, interest rates, and corporate profits are what matter to the market. Probably the most important of those is corporate profits. So if the economy is strong, we continue to get good corporate profits, I think that can provide support to the market as long as interest rates, you know, don't aggressively move higher from here.
Thanks so much for the insight. Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services. You can check out his website, horizoninvestment.com. And up next, it's Entrepreneur Friday. So we're going to talk to the founder of the UltaLit Tree Company.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Entrepreneur Friday here on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. And today we welcome John DeCosmo. He's founder and president of UltaLit Tree Company and maker of the Lightkeeper Pro here in Glenview. John, I'm guessing this is like your Super Bowl gearing up for the holiday season. Tell us a little bit about how you got into the artificial tree business.
Rather born into it. On the day I'm born in 1960, my father, as an employee, is a manufacturer of ladies' curler brushes. That company went on to figure out how to make artificial Christmas trees, went public, had five factories around the United States making trees.
I'm sorry. Can you help me connect those dots? Maybe I'm not making that connection there. How do you go from a women's product into artificial trees?
It was the same machinery, what they did. And as an employee of the company, that's what we did. We sold trees using the same technology. But in 1996, I made a shift to selling trees with the lights on them already. We were one of only two companies in the United States then doing that.
Well, and I feel like that's almost become, I mean, if you're not getting a live tree, I feel like a lot of people, their second choice or the other choice is to get a pre-lit tree. It saves a lot of the legwork there.
Correct. That is correct.
So let's talk about this innovation. What is the Lightkeeper Pro? I think I've heard of this.
Okay, so we figured out approximately 20 years ago, we figured out how to repair incandescent light sets in seconds. And what it is to pull out one bulb from a failed light set, insert the tool, the Lightkeeper Pro, pull the trigger a few times, the majority of them will come on before your eyes. It was about 12 years ago we were able to invent the tool that could repair LED Christmas light sets.
And I got it. I mean, to me, that sounds like such an ingenious idea, because if you have one, even just a handful of lights go out individually, I think in the past, you just sort of toss the strand, throw up your hands and call it a loss.
That's correct. When we invented it, several said we put the ho, ho, ho back in Christmas.
Well, see, I like that. You can trademark that. Let's see. What advice do you have for people who are now, you know, looking ahead? We just made it to Thanksgiving, so now we're looking up to the holidays here. A lot of people searching for that next tree. What advice do you have for them?
Shop. The choices are vast. You'll want to use a tape measure. Do you know the width that you're looking for? Well, start in your home. What width and height do you really want? So many people walk in the store asking for a 6-foot tree until they see it. And they often walk out with an 8-foot tree.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, now one last thing that I want to mention, John. This has been a criticism recently of artificial trees, and that's that they don't have that same piney smell like a live tree that sort of fills your home with those aromas. But it seems like Ultalit's got a solution for that.
We agree with you. We started on this over 10 years ago, and we listened to the consumer. The person that switched to the artificial tree in the first year, they said, I like the tree, I miss the smell. And we set the standard such that when you came home with the real tree, it kicked off a fragrance that often filled the house. And so, yes, we have a scent keeper that's in good stores now, like Chalet Nursery, Wanamaker's, and American Sale, that really, really makes the room fragrant at sharp retail prices. Under $10, you've got a really good market-tested fragrance.
Thanks so much for joining us for this Entrepreneur Friday. That's John DeCosmo, founder and president of Ultalit Tree Company in Glenview. Still to come, it is a big story out of Chicago today as Bears head coach Matt Eberflus out of the job. The details next.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
We've been following this breaking story this morning as Bears head coach Matt Eberflus has been fired. Weighing in on that decision is Mark Gannis, president and co-founder of Sports Core Limited here in Chicago. And Mark, I have to point out, not only is this a historic decision for the Bears franchise, it came just, what, minutes after Eberflus addressed the media saying, I'll be there for the 49ers.
Yeah, this is a very strange situation. Not only that Eberflus was fired, but they've elevated Thomas Brown, who started the year, he was the passing game coordinator, who then a couple of weeks ago got elevated to be the offensive coordinator, and just about an hour ago got elevated to be the head coach. This is really very fast. This is moving all very quickly.
Yeah, well, he's got a very meteoric rise in his resume there. But I'm curious, why now? Obviously, we know what happened yesterday's game. We can understand that was sort of a whiff. But for them to make this decision in season, which, by the way, the Bears have never fired a head coach midseason, why now?
Two primary reasons. First is, by firing him now, they can get started in their search for a head coach after the season. So they'll be way ahead of almost all the other teams that will fire head coaches what they call Black Monday, which is the day after the regular season ends. The second reason is the frustration among the Bears families for just the mental lapses was just extreme. Fans and the front office and the media looked at this and said, there is a brain freeze going on. This can't continue. So the combination of factors, but the biggest one is this. This gives the Bears a big head start in looking for who their next head coach will be over all the other teams in the league.
Is this what's going to turn the team around coming off that six-game losing streak? Is Matt really the one to bear the brunt of this? Obviously, as head coach, there is some onus there, but are we going to suddenly see a whole new team come 49ers game day?
No. It's not a white flag. It's not waving the white flag, but it is saying the odds are really against the team turning around and becoming a playoff team this year. They're seeing a lot of parts of the team degrade, so the trajectory is in the wrong direction as well. So there's a decision made. This is like a baseball team as you get to the trading deadline. Are you going to be a buyer or are you going to be a seller? The Bears chose that they're going to be a seller, and they're going to prepare starting now, not just for next season, but for the next 5 or 10 seasons, and rather bite the bullet now and get started in their planning now, rather than having to continue to make excuses for some of the bonehead moves that the team has made in recent weeks.
And how much of this rebuilding is focused around Caleb Williams? You touched on parts of the team degrading and having this rookie come in and really wanting to build a franchise around that. How much is he playing into these decisions?
Massive, massive part. One of the things you can't do with young quarterbacks is continually change systems. Offensive coaches, quarterback coaches, passing game coaches. You've got to give a young quarterback stability. This was not going to happen. They clearly had decided Eberflus was gone at the end of the year. So the only question is, do you do it now and get a head start? Or do you wait till the end of the season? I think the Bears made exactly the right choice, and it is almost all about the development of Caleb Williams. This is the guy they're planning to be their quarterback for the next decade. They need to get a head coach and an offensive scheme around him that he'll have for years to come and not get changed every other season.
Thanks so much, Mark Gannis, president and co-founder of Sports Core Limited here in Chicago. Now, if you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com.